trouble, see I'm home.
Today I will be discussing Sales Resistance, which was filmed Friday, August 29th, 1952. It was directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. The synopsis for this episode, taken directly from the Lucy book, A Complete Guide to Her 5 Decades on Television, written by Jeffrey Mark Fiddleman, is as follows. Ricky, Fred, and Ethel reminisce about the time before the baby came when Lucy had problems with Henry Martin, the sales representative from the Handy Dandy Company. Each time he sells Lucy something, she returns it and then ends up buying something more expensive because she has absolutely no sales resistance. According to the I Love Lucy book by Bart Andrews, this episode, like the following 4, utilized a flashback intro. These 5 episodes were originally written and filmed before the 7 baby shows were written and filmed. This was in order to allow Lucille Ball enough time to relax before her baby was due, for about 2 months, and give her sufficient time to rest up after the boy's birth, another 2 months. These episodes were saved for a telecast after the baby shows aired, hence the flashback approach.
We're having a baby, my baby and me.
At the beginning of this episode, Ricky is singing There's a Brand New Baby at Our House into a reel-to-reel tape recorder. Fred asks Ricky if he wrote the song, and Ricky says that he has. In real life, Desi had in fact composed the opening song with Eddie Maxwell for Lucy Arnaz's birth on July 17, 1951. Ricky says Lucy bought the recorder to record the baby's first words, and that the woman in the next bed is a salesman for the tape recorder company. The tape recorder that he's using in this episode is a Webcor reel-to-reel tape recorder from 1953. I found this exact one on eBay for about $200, so they're still kind of floating around today, which I think is really cool. I did find a print ad for this recorder, which I'm going to read now, because it's pretty cool, and I'll also try to remember to post it on our Instagram. So it says, a few words worth 1,000 pictures. Tape it and keep it for life. When is a picture not worth 1,000 words? When you can actually have the words as lifelike as they were when spoken. Then, the words are worth much more than 1,000 pictures, especially if the words are recorded on a Webcor tape recorder. A Webcor captures a whisper, a word, or a song in brilliant, true-to-life fidelity on an inexpensive tape, forever if you like, or erase and record over the same tape again and again. A Webcor records 2 full hours without real turnover, and 1 knob for recording, playback, and erasing simplifies operations. Start your precious memories album now. See and hear a Webcor tape recorder at your dealer tomorrow. Use a Webcor for recording business meetings, sounds of home movies, school plays, weddings, or parties.
As Fred, Ethel, and Ricky are talking, they discuss how this saleswoman apparently has a baby every year and sells enough tape recorders to pay for the baby. Now, if all they're doing is paying for the birth of the baby, I'm trying to figure out why she keeps having babies, because if she just didn't have the baby, she wouldn't need to pay for it. Maybe I'm reading too much into this joke, but it seems like if she didn't have the babies, she wouldn't have to sell a bunch of tape recorders to pay for the babies. Anyhow, this leads into the flashback, which starts with Ethel explaining how she can't forget the look on Lucy's face when Ethel brought the mail up to her. Right away in this opening shot, we see 2 things that I love and are pretty iconic to this series. You know, of course, the first one is the ivy set. Lucy's currently washing them in this scene. And then the iconic blue polka dot dress that was designed by Eloise Jensen. If you didn't know, there were 2 variations. One where the bib neck was replaced with a large flat white collar and bow. But we see it again many times, and we also see it in Here's Lucy when she's holding a garage sale. Ethel strolls on in like she does all the time. And you can see in her hand she's got a package, maybe some letters for Lucy. But Lucy is preoccupied and Ethel catches on to that pretty quickly. So she asks Lucy what's going on and she explains that, you know, she's just had her weekly lecture about spending too much money. Apparently pesos don't grow on trees. I know Erica and I have talked about this before, but I'm just so glad that, you know, my husband is pretty chill about money. We have our own bank accounts, we pay the bills, and then we do what we want with our money. I can't imagine having a weekly lecture about what I use my money on and what I choose to spend my money on. Of course, as we look on further into this episode, you can see that maybe she doesn't make the best choices with her money, but I make similar choices, and I'll get into that. I think one of the best things about this scene in particular is that as soon as she finishes talking about how she's had this lecture, she sees that Ethel has brought something up for her, and she gets really excited because she knows exactly what it is. And of course, it's another package of something that she probably shouldn't have bought. Both the girls hear Ricky headed into the kitchen, and they decide that they need to hide this right away because it's not the time to show Ricky a new purchase. And so they're running around the kitchen trying to find a safe place, and they decide that the refrigerator is probably the best place. And of course, that's because Lucy does all the cooking most of the time. This frantic search for a hiding spot leads to a really funny scene. Lucy and Ethel are putting the package in the fridge, and Lucy thinks that Ethel is still to the left of her. So she turns and asks her, "Do you think that this is safe?" She's surprised when Ricky, who's snuck in from the living room, says, "Yes, I think it's safe." I really enjoy watching the girls run around trying to keep the package from Ricky, kind of like playing football with the package. Ricky finally catches the package and opens it to reveal the handy-dandy kitchen helper. Every time I watch this episode, I wonder if the prop department made the handy-dandy kitchen helper specifically for this episode, or if it was a product that was already on the market. I did look around a little bit to see if I could find anything that would have been similar in that time, and I couldn't find anything. I, on the other hand, have something similar in my kitchen currently. It's rectangular and it's supposed to like slice and dice your veggies. It catches it all in the container underneath. And I bought it because it looked really cool online. And it said, you know, it would really help cut down the time you spend chopping your vegetables. I don't use it very much, though. The first time that I used it, I ended up giving myself a pretty bad cut. And I think that my husband uses it more than I do, which is still not very much, and probably wasn't worth the amount of money that I paid for it. So I can't really blame Lucy for spending money on this kitchen helper. Now, Ricky asks Lucy how much she spent on this kitchen helper, and Lucy says that it's supposed to cut down the time that the housewife spends in the kitchen. Ricky, of course, follows that up again with how much, and he is asking again how much she spent on this kitchen helper. But Lucy, being cheeky, answers that it's supposed to save her about 2 hours a day. Finally, she breaks down and tells Ricky that she spent $7.98 on it. In a few minutes, though, she will say that she spent $7.95 on it. So just a little catch there. Ricky is very intrigued to see how this works and why it is worth $7.98. And so Lucy decides she is going to demonstrate how it works in the same manner that the person demonstrating on the screen did for her. So this is her spiel. "Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to demonstrate the handy-dandy kitchen helper. It's something you shouldn't be without. It peels, slices, cuts and rices, skins and dices at lower prices. Now watch me closely, ladies and gentlemen. I'll set the dial for French fries, and then by turning this handle, I'll cut the potatoes into 16 identical slices. Here we go." And of course, at this point, we don't go. She says that, you know, we must have had it set for baked potato because it didn't cut the potato at all. Lucy tries again, and this time it produces something similar to hash browns, and there are way more than 16 pieces of potato in there. At this point, Ethel thinks that maybe Lucy's just doing it wrong, and so she goes over to help her. And Fred and Ricky start talking about how women have no sales resistance whatsoever. And of course, you know, when the men start to generalize women like that, they end up being just as bad, if not worse, than the women. We see this in the episode where Ricky and Fred get on Ethel and Lucy about how much they're gossiping. They insist that the women gossip too much, and it turns out that they gossip just as much as Lucy and Ethel, just about different things. And on that note, we find ourselves in a very similar situation, because Lucy tells Ricky that, you know, he is just as bad as her when it comes to sales resistance. She hints that he did not need what he bought at the war surplus store, and when Ricky insists that it was a necessary purchase, you find out that he had in fact bought a 20-foot long rubber life raft. Of course, one must wonder what in the world you'd need that for. Ethel starts to say how Fred was just as bad, but we don't get to hear what he bought, and I've always been kind of sad about that because I cannot imagine what in the world he would have spent money on. This next part of the scene is one that Erica and I always kind of touch on a bit. Ricky finds out that Lucy can in fact return the kitchen helper, and because he's not happy about spending $8 on a kitchen gadget that doesn't work, he insists that she return it. And Lucy pushes back just a little bit, and when she does, Ricky answers with, either you're going to call them up and tell them to take it back, or I'm going to use it to demonstrate how to cut a wife into 16 identical slices. Now, this is meant to be a joke, of course, but it just kind of lands a little flat, in my opinion. That is the end of this scene, and so I'm going to take a little break and let my voice recover a little bit, maybe get some tea. While I'm doing that, I hope you enjoy this commercial that I pulled from the end of a My Favorite Husband episode.
Yes, Lucille, what's on the docket for tonight?
Tonight, Robert, to start the new season, I am a shy young country girl, a beautiful little flower visiting the city for the first time.
And I'm the city slicker?
Right. Take it away, Wilbur.
Well, hello, my beautiful little flower.
Hello there.
Did you drop this handkerchief?
Oh, no, you don't. My mother told me about fellers like you.
She did?
Yep. Why do you think I dropped my handkerchief?
I want to talk to you about Jell-O.
Oh, you're going to sweet talk me, huh?
Jell-O comes in six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry.
Yep.
Orange, lemon.
No!
Yes, and lime.
Well, that's enough talking. Kiss me.
Now look, there'll be none of that until I finish talking about Jell-O.
Ooh, gonna play hard to get, eh? Come here, you.
Put me down.
Oh, shucks. There.
Now, where was I?
Up here.
Put me down.
Well, you don't have to get in a tizzy about it. Want to wrestle?
No! Now, may I finish?
Proceed.
Jell-O makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself.
No.
Yes.
Itself?
Yes, so look for the big red letters on the box.
J-E-L-L-O.
Why? What does that spell?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You knew the letters.
Oh, yeah, I can spell, but I can't read. You see, I'm working with dog and cat now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, but they're doing better than I am.
Well, when you learn to read, you'll find that Jell-O is wonderful.
It is?
Because the flavor is locked in by a special process.
It is.
Yes, and it can't get out till your first delicious spoonful.
I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me.
Now, how about that kiss?
Oh, no. Jell-O sounds better to me now. Hi, Bob.
All right, guys, I'm back. Thank you for giving me a little break. This next scene starts with Lucy just looking worried. You can see her there next to her vacuum cleaner. It looks like she was at one point vacuuming. And at this point, I've always noticed that the carpet right there looks a little bit dark. And I've always wondered if that is because Lucy had been practicing, rehearsing, and the dirt had kind of just gotten stuck in the carpet a bit. And they couldn't fully get it out. And you'll see, you know, later on when he throws the dirt onto the carpet, even when he is cleaning it up, it doesn't all come up nicely. Anyways, back to the actual scene. You can see Lucy miming what she's going to say to the salesman that comes to pick up the handy-dandy kitchen helper. And I love that she does not say a word, and yet you can follow the entire conversation that she's having from the false bravado at the beginning to looking worried that they won't take it, to kind of begging them to take it. All of that happens in such a short span of time. And yet, even with no words, you just know exactly what's happening. A knock on the door will startle her out of this. And this is when we meet Harry Martin of the Handy Dandy Company. He's played by Sheldon Leonard, and he's a well-known actor. He was also the director of the Desilu TV show Make Room for Daddy. Lucy goes straight into her spiel about how she bought this handy dandy kitchen helper and doesn't want it. It doesn't work. She has to give it back. And Mr. Martin is super understanding. He's like, of course you wouldn't want it. Of course you can't have it. You can't even have it if you beg for it back. I wouldn't want you to have this. It's inferior. And as soon as he starts agreeing and complimenting Lucy, you know that he's playing, you know, the long con. He's building her up and acting like she's amazing so that he can sell her something else. And I think that, you know, in the end, that's how they get them, right? Is they sell him something cheap, maybe on TV, and then they say, oh, you can return it, no problem, all your money back. And then they send out a salesman to come and basically just seal a deal on something much, much more expensive. Mr. Martin goes into this whole explanation of how he had a woman earlier that day that was just so irritating. She wasn't super smart, and she got really mad at him for throwing dirt on the carpet. And so he shows Lucy what he did. And he throws the dirt on the carpet, says, you know, you can have this $10 bill if I can't clean up the dirt in 2 minutes. And of course he cleans it up because he's got the handy dandy vacuum cleaner, and Lucy is sold. You know, she's sees how well it works, and he says that she can get the works and the attachments for $8.95. Going back to what I said earlier though, when you watch him vacuuming up the dirt from the ground, you can kind of see it pushing into the carpet a little bit. And that's kind of where I start to wonder if after doing some rehearsing, it kind of just got stuck in the carpet a little bit. Anyways, Lucy hears $8.95 for a vacuum cleaner, and she goes, yes, absolutely, I'll buy it. Of course, when I hear the works of a vacuum cleaner, and he does mention that she gets the attachments, one would assume that that meant that she would get the attachments and whatever was needed to run the vacuum cleaner. That is not the case, though. As soon as she hands over the $8.95, he says, now you might like the metal case to go around it, and also the hose and the electric cord, which is an extra $5, and the attachments, which are $2.50 a piece, the utility lamp, the carrying case for the vacuum, the carrying case for the attachments, and all of this adds up to a whopping $102.40. She tells Ethel in a little bit that she also got the kitchen helper for an extra $1.50. They start to hear Ricky come down the hallway. This is because he's singing quite loudly a song called Cielito Lindo. Erica would be so much better at saying this. I know we've talked about this song before. It was a Mexican song popularized in 1882. It was first heard in the episode The Freezer. It was later heard again in The Club Election, Ricky's Hawaiian Vacation, Second Honeymoon, and it is second only to Babalu in the number of performances on the series. So Lucy decides at this point that she needs to hide the vacuum cleaner from Ricky. And Ethel goes, aren't you going to tell him you bought all this? And Lucy answers, someday when we're old and gray, but not now. And so they're trying to hide this vacuum cleaner. The type of vacuum cleaner used in this episode is a Westinghouse vacuum cleaner. In 1950, you could get this vacuum cleaner for a remarkable price of $49.95. Ironically, later, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz sold Westinghouse products when they sponsored the Desilu Playhouse. They even actually created a special film to show sales teams, provisionally titled Lucy Buys Westinghouse. And I think we've mentioned this before, but before Lucy became a TV star or radio personality, she appeared in print ads for Hoover vacuums, and I can try to remember to put that on our Instagram as well. According to our friend Paper Moon, three episodes later, Lucy's seen using an upright vacuum cleaner in The Black Eye. Hoover executives saw the episode of I Love Lucy in which Lucille Ball paddled vacuum cleaners door-to-door and cut a deal with the show's producers to have one of its products, and especially its brand name, displayed whenever a vacuum appeared in the plot. The vacuum in The Black Eye was a Hoover Upright Model 62, and it later inspired collectible salt and pepper shakers, which I really want to find and purchase for myself. Anyways, the girls decide to hide the vacuum cleaner in the closet, and this does work because Lucy is the one doing all the vacuuming and the cleaning. She actually usually is the one that puts away Desi's coat, or Ricky's coat as well. And so it could be argued that this is a good hiding place. Anyways, Ricky does end up finding the vacuum cleaner, and it all comes about because he's trying to sit down, read the paper after a day of work or rehearsal, and he realizes it's dark. Now, we didn't discuss this earlier, but when the salesman comes in, it's mentioned that the switch on the wall turns on both the outlet and the light in the apartment. And so Ricky goes to turn on the light, so he's got some light to read, and they hear a vacuum cleaner. Lucy tries to kind of push it off as like, it's me, I'm the one making the sound, and she shuts off the light really quick. Ricky turns it back on, and goes, no, I hear it. It's a vacuum cleaner. It sounds like a vacuum cleaner. And so he looks and he sees the cord plugged into the wall and he starts to follow this cord. And Lucy puts herself in between him and the vacuum cleaner and asks, you know, kiss me? And he says, I'll kiss you once I see what's at the end of this vacuum cleaner. And I love how she goes, well, you know, you're going to want to kiss me now if you're ever going to kiss me again, or something like that. You better kiss me now if you're ever going to. It's exactly what she says. And he finds it, and she pretends that it's his Christmas present, which, again, is just really funny because she would be the one doing all the cleaning. Ricky finds out that she has just spent $102 on this vacuum cleaner, which nowadays would be about $1,153. He insists that she takes it back, and she says, you know what, okay, I will. The next scene, she's vacuuming one more time. Ethel walks in. She goes, I'm going to take it back, and realizes it's just Ethel. And in this scene, she's got this really cute apron on, and it's like one of those house cleaning aprons, and it's got the heart pocket in the side, and I've just always loved that. Lucy and Ethel get to talking, and Lucy realizes, like, I'm not going to be able to resist Mr. Martin's salesmanship, and she decides, I'm just going to sell this thing myself. I remember everything he said to me. I'm going to do it. And so she picks up the vacuum cleaner, picks up all the parts, and heads out. This is when she meets Mrs. Simpson, who's played by Verna Felton. She'd actually come back a few months later in the role of Mrs. Porter in The Maid, Lucy Hires a Maid, Season 2, Episode 23. Here's another excerpt from Paper Moon's Tumblr page, and this one's regarding Verna Felton. He says, Felton also played Hilda Crocker on the 1954-1959 Desilu TV series December Bride. She provided voices for several classic Disney animated movies and Wilma's mother in the classic 1960-66 cartoon series The Flintstones. She's the mother of Lee Miller, who made four appearances on I Love Lucy, most famously in Lucy and the Dummy, Season 5, Episode 3, and the MC who introduced the clip from Guys and Dolls, which coincidentally co-starred Sheldon Leonard. In the 1962 episode of My Three Sons, Felton played Mub, the female counterpart to William Frawley's Bub, in a fantasy dream sequence. Now, Lucy comes in, and she does exactly what Mr. Martin did, which is throw the dirt onto the ground and then say, you know, you can have this $10 if I can't clean this up in 2 minutes. Of course, Miss Simpson forgets to mention that the electricity is off and that the vacuum cleaner won't work. It's one of those, she knows exactly what she's doing, but it's really funny that she doesn't mention it. Lucy apologizes for the mess. She's like, I don't know how you're going to clean this up without a vacuum cleaner. And, you know, of course, Miss Simpson knows how she's going to clean it up. And Lucy has to pick up all the dirt with her hands. This next shot we have is of Ricky pacing. And you can tell that a big period of time has elapsed. He's very worried about Lucy. And then finally she comes staggering in, sits down, and says she was unable to sell the vacuum cleaner. Ethel wants to make Lucy a bit more comfortable, and so she goes to take off her shoes, and that's when she notices Lucy only has one shoe, and Ethel asks what happened to the other one, and Lucy responds that it's stuck in the door of 310 East 69th Street, and then apparently losing her shoe wasn't the worst of it. She got kicked downstairs, bitten by a dog, and chased 3 blocks by a policeman that wanted to see her peddler's license. At this point, she says, you know, one more hour and they would have had to report another death of a salesman. And this is, of course, in reference to Death of a Salesman, a Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Arthur Miller that was first produced on Broadway in 1949 and made an Oscar-nominated film in 1951. Lucy calls Mr. Martin and says, you know, I want to return the vacuum. I'm going to return the vacuum, and it's going to happen tonight. He tells Fred he's not sure what women would do without men to get them out of their troubles. Now, Lucy and Ethel are like, nope, we're not going to stay here. We're going to leave. We're going to go to the movies. And Lucy runs back out. from the back bedroom where she was about to go get changed, and she says, "Listen, just put the vacuum cleaner out in the hallway, lock the doors, sit in the dark." And Ricky should have listened to her, because the girls come back from the movies, and they're happy and relaxed, and the boys are sitting there playing a card game. They try to kind of act like everything's fine, but then Ricky says Mr. Martin paid him a compliment, and Lucy knows at this point that Ricky bought something, because that's the stunt that the salesman pulled on her. And so, you know, she pushes for answers, and she's like, "Okay, where is it? What is it? What'd you buy?" And it turns out that they have a brand new handy-dandy refrigerator. At this point, Elsa's like, "Man, you get all the breaks. No one could sell anything to Fred." And Ricky hints that, you know, maybe that's not so true. It turns out Fred bought a handy-dandy washing machine. This is conveniently forgotten about in the 31st episode of this season, Never Do Business with Friends, where they buy, Ethel and Fred buy a washing machine from Ricky and Lucy. I really like this episode. It's pretty simple. Again, it was one of those flashback episodes, so I think that was the purpose of it. But it was just really fun. It was one of those episodes where they don't leave the apartment very much. There's one scene where she's outside the apartment with Miss Simpson, but other than that, it all takes place within the confines of their apartment, and you kind of see just how living life with, you know, simple things like buying things and returning them and realizing you've been played and things like that. It's just one of those episodes that's just really simple, really funny, and I enjoyed it a lot. Next week, we should be back on track. Erica and I will be recording. I'm not entirely sure what we're recording this upcoming week, but we will be together again. We will be recording, and I'm really excited about that. Please find us everywhere. I don't do this nearly as well as Erica, but I know we're on Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at havingaballpodcast@gmail.com. And I hope to hear from you guys. Leave reviews if you can, if you want to. We love to hear what you like about what we're doing. We love to hear maybe what you don't like so much. Send us emails, send us questions. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Having a Ball Podcast.
You can find us everywhere. We are on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod on Twitter. We are on Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook and Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. And of course, if you want to send us any emails, comments, recommendations, havingaballpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys. Bye. Bye-bye.